How to use AI in designing our cities. Hi, my name is Marcin Wojciech-Żebrowski and welcome to the newest episode of Urbcast, my podcast about urbanism, architecture, cities and many more. Today we will focus on extremely interesting topic, which is AI. And we'll discuss how can AI influence our cities, how can we use AI to design the cities that we live in, and can the AI be a threat? Actually, threat to us designers, architects, can it replace architects? Or can it be actually a help, a tool for the creatives to be used to enhance the design processes and integrate people into those? This episode is about Urbanist AI, which is a generative AI platform for participatory planning and co-design. The three aims of the platform of the Urbanist AI is, as mentioned, participatory planning, but also encouraging imagination and also working with universities to further develop the knowledge. My guest today is Damiano Cerone, who is an urbanist, researcher, and educator. He co-founded Spin Unit, an urban research and innovation practice, and Urbanist AI, a participatory design platform to reimagine the future of our cities. His practice focuses on urban research and policy design for the public sector. Damiano is also part of the academia, and he teaches at several academic institutions in Finland and abroad. This episode is brought to you in a collaboration with Urban Future Conference that took place in Stuttgart in June, and Urbcast and I was a media partner of the conference. If you would like to get to know more about the Urban Future Conference, please visit urbanfuture.com. And now, welcome to the newest, extremely exciting conversation about the AI and its role in designing our cities. Hi, Damiano. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Nice to meet you.
We're going to discuss today a very exciting thing to me, to you as well. We're going to talk about the AI and its influence to the urban design, urbanism, architecture, I hope, as well. But before that, maybe you could give a very short introduction about you and also how did you get your interest into AI?
So thank you for having me here today. And I'm Damiano Cerrone. So I'm one of the co-founder of Urbanist AI, together with Luca Stornaiuolo and Lisa Gazzeva. And the overall idea is to basically start to reimagine the future of our cities collectively. So this was, let's say, the impetus of starting to build a platform. And and now we are starting to work with cities and citizens to reimagine the future of their cities.
Mm. And how did this inspiration come to you about the AI? Because it's not a new thing. It's of course getting a lot of traction recently because of the ChatGPT and other AI tools. But as far as I know, and I'm not an expert on the topic. That's also why you are here. But when this kind of interest around the AI started, and especially the thoughts about using AI for city making.
Yes, actually, it comes long way back. So it was maybe like 2 years and a half ago about that. So I'm an urbanist, actually, by trade and by kind of by research field. And about 11 years ago, I also co-founded Spin Unit, which is an urban consulting team. And one of the main things that cities wanted and citizens wanted was to have workshops in which kind of citizens and stakeholders would actually feel part of the design process instead of just being commentators, right? And during the sort of a COVID, you know, during the lockdown time, I was in touch with Luca Stornaiuolo, that is the programmer actually of the software. So he's the IT engineer who's behind the kind of platform. And he was working together with Lisa. They were working on this app called Redraw, which actually it's available already online now. And at the same time, he was doing an exhibition at the Venice Biennale. In this exhibition, he was basically giving poetry to generative AI. And the generative AI was producing landscapes based on the poetry that was given, right? So it was an art installation. So he was using AI generative AI for, let's say, art. And I was trying to find solutions to allow citizens to visualize and assess their own ideas instead of just using post-its or commenting on somebody else's design. So we met with Luca and Lisa, and that's how actually the thing started. So we are, I think, part of our kind of working together, and why it's coming out so well, I think, exactly, is because we come from different fields. I'm an urbanist with consulting experience. Luca is a programmer with art background. And Lisa, it's a super talented, you know, UX UI designer. So this kind of multidisciplinarity, I think, is what brought it all together, actually.
So your minds meeting together resulted in the Urbanist AI.
Yeah,
Which is a tool available right now. Can you say whom do you addressing this tool to and how can they use it?
Yeah, actually, at first we just thought it was this thing we are developing for us to run workshops, right? Because the municipalities, ministries, so different kind of public sectors, entity were coming to us like, we need to change the way we do this. But quite quickly it came out that cities themselves wanted to use them, right? So it took several years, of course, to develop the platform. And also the way it works, it's been, let's say, co-developed in a way also with our clients' feedback. But basically, the long story short is that we do three things. We do participatory planning, which means you have an actual real process. You have kind of a street that has to be redesigned, like in Helsinki, they had to redesign two streets for the summer. So it's about converting car streets into pedestrian street for summer months. It's quite common in Scandinavia to have this kind of a summer streets. And in that case, we have even the interface is different. So the interface and the methodology specifically designed for participatory design. Then the second thing we do, and usually cities and citizens are kind of a part of this process. The second actually is to just encourage social imagination, which just simply means that there is not an actual street or a square to redesign, but we simply want to collect people's idea and actually give them the opportunity to reimagine their own city. So that of its own is a big thing, because when we involve citizens, we usually do that with post-its, with maps, with post-its on maps, or it doesn't matter if those are kind of a digital or kind of physical post-its, but the whole idea is that usually for a citizen, even for a stakeholder or an investor, it's quite difficult to visualize their idea and even assess it, if they like it or not. So in this case, we just do kind of exhibitions or sessions where we just gather people's idea. And City Lab Berlin has been doing one actually last week. So they've been going around Berlin with a kind of a container, and citizens could kind of come and reimagine the streets of Berlin. And then we work with universities. So with university, we try to look at our own methodology critically and keep on developing how Urbanist AI is actually deployed.
Would that be an alternative to the traditional way of getting information for the city planning processes? Because you said that there are post-its, of course, there are some physical meeting that people can attend. Of course, it was influenced during the pandemic, but I think that nowadays we are just coming back to those physical meetings, to the physical drawings. Would you say that involving AI to this participation process is the future, is a step up, or it's rather maybe only an alternative to the traditional method, or maybe just only a support to them?
Yeah, I think it supports. So I think you still want to have an idea of what people like or don't like in the city. So you still want to have surveys. You still want to have, you know, workshops, for instance, like with Maptioner, which is, you know, it's about gathering information at large scale. So you still want to have that. I think what Urbanist AI is bringing here is the addition of having the possibilities to actually reimagine your own public space, but most importantly, to evaluate your own idea. I think this is what it's bringing on. And what we're seeing is that soon we're going to have also kind of a public, kind of public-facing app that anyone can just use. Right now, it's only used through workshops, Urbanist AI. But we see that the biggest value actually is in the human interaction. So it's having people with different opinions and different backgrounds and ages coming together at City Hall or on public space like City Lab Berlin did, and have both a debate and evaluation of their own idea. So there is value in the human interaction, so we should not replace that. So it's possible, of course, to do some kind of a mass workshop online with Urbanist AI, but it will be limited to gathering the idea, not to actually produce new design that actually are going to be built and developed in cities.
Mm. So it's a bit calming to hear that you value the human interaction, because as someone who is working with the AI models to enhance the processes, right, you might think on the on the other side of the spectrum that maybe the AI will be something that will replace many of the processes, and our cities will be designed only by AI, and we as city planners, urbanists, architects will be only coding and writing scripts.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely. I hope not. I mean, I hope that nobody's working on this direction. We are working on the direction of ERS generative AI. It allows people to reimagine their cities and evaluate their own ideas, and architects and planners moderate that process. So architects and planners help citizens, guide citizens, stakeholders, investors into this process of social imagination. You still need to be able to make technical drawings. You still need to be able to follow regulations and urban design standards. So what is changing is more that the role of the architect is becoming even more the one of the mediator of urban transformation, and somehow the one who has to communicate with citizens in a new way. So I think we look at Urbanist AI as a not a design tool, but as a communication tool.
Mm.
So this is kind of the direction we have taken.
Can we also try at least to discuss how it actually works? Because when you go to the website, you can see those different images being generated by AI and how they change. So you have, for example, a photo of a street, and then you have different options of the design for it.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously everyone can just visit the website during or after listening to this discussion. But how would you explain the key kind of process, key working methodology of this tool?
So yeah, it depends if we have kind of a real project that has to be built or if it's social imagination kind of sessions. However, in basically workshops, I can give you the example of the city of Helsinki. You would actually have planners and architects who are supposed to actually, of course, make the final design and construction, moderating the groups. So we would divide citizens and also businessmen that own, you know, the shops around the streets. We invite them to the workshops, and the architects first get training from us. So first we have a session in which we train the architects and the planners of Helsinki to actually run a workshop with Urbanist AI. And then actually they are in charge of moderating each group. And usually the session goes so that at first citizens try to conceptualize their idea. So they come up with concepts. For instance, you know, we would like to have an area which is uncommodified so that we can actually go there and dance tango, or we could go there with the children and do this and that. Then somebody else might say, okay, yes, but we would like to have both cars and pedestrians. So everyone is basically putting their ideas. That's where the value is, sharing ideas, finding conflicts, and finding resolutions. And that is the role of the architect, to create this resolution, to mediate those different ideas. And then Urbanist AI is used to visualize those concepts. So how this street would look like if it had those kind of a platform for dancing, and at the same time, a passage for the cars to move through, and maybe like a small cafe. So this is a way then to say, okay, this is the concept we wanted, it fits here. This is the concept we wanted, doesn't fit here, so let's work on it still a bit more. So what does it change basically is that traditionally the architecture office comes to the citizens and say, this is our design, do you like it or not? Here it's more like the citizens come up with their ideas and tell to the architects, okay, we want to work on this direction. So right, it actually speeds up the process so much for architecture offices, because they don't need to spend months in producing renderings and ideas that might not be anyway liked by citizens. So we just kind of do the co-design part together.
Playing a bit of a devil's advocate here, isn't that using such an AI model is limiting in a way? I don't know, like, can it generate every idea, every possible option of a design, or there is some kind of pre-made set of them?
So there is both. You can produce anything you can describe in words. The reason why you have two options. So in Urbanist AI, you can either just write your own text. So just like, you know, when you use ChatGPT, that you write something that you want. And so you can go that way. So you can just write, I would like to see an urban park with small benches made of wood, Scandinavian style, with children playing around. So you can actually write a full sentence.
Okay.
And then the AI is going to produce that. Or a bus stop shaped like a bus. Yes, right? So it can be whatever you like. Uh-huh. However, usually for the warm-up, to let citizens kind of embrace a bit more, kind of to get into the mood of creativity, we do prepare some predefinite ideas that they can start to test. For instance, I don't know, a urban pocket park or a small garden, a small kind of a community garden. So like people can test first they can make up their mind at first. Because if you just ask somebody, what would you like to have here? Not really everyone comes to the workshop knowing what is possible, right? I mean, that's why we have architecture schools. It's because for 5 years or more, you study what are all the possibilities. Like you kind of study how to be creative. If you would say, person, even myself, actually, I'm not so creative. Like I would need some kind of something to jumpstart the conversation, right? So that's why we have these predefinite prompts that kind of helps people to test some ideas. But then, of course, they can go wild as they like, yeah.
I think public participation on its own, it's a very complicated topic. I remember so examples from my home country of Poland, where you would either have, I think basically maybe two approaches. One would be the city representatives coming with a ready made project almost and just asking, okay, as you basically said before, do you like it or not? And you as a citizen, you have this choice of saying, oh yes, I love it, or no, I don't, it's terrible. And on the other side of the spectrum, you might have just maybe the city representatives wanting to be a bit more open, more democratic, and just asking, okay, what do you want? But then this question also poses some threats, because people say, okay, I want to have a huge swimming pool here, or I want to have a skate park, right? It opens this whole box of possibilities of what can people have. So is that tool framing this whole conversation? Is that what you try to achieve?
Yeah, even in this case, there is the famous two ways of approaching it. One is that you freely use Urbanist AI, and then you actually value the conversation. What I mean is that somebody might say, I would love to have a swimming pool here. Like it happened in Helsinki. Somebody said, I would like to have a swimming pool here. And then the architects who are moderating the workshop say, it's a great idea, but look, it would be extremely difficult to, you know, remove, say, the asphalt and dig a hole. Like, so, right, you can actually explain why building a swimming pool would not work as much as maybe even like planting big trees. That's also one classic thing in workshop, is citizens saying, I would like here to have a big tree. And then that is the value, is in the conversation of saying, kind of explaining why a big tree cannot be planted in certain urban condition, right? So we see this as a two-way, a way for the architects to learn what citizens' ideas are, and for citizens to learn and evaluate their own idea if they're feasible or not. And then the other way, for instance, we have been using this other kind of a more guided way with the United Nations Development Program. They've been doing workshop both with children and adults in Pristina and North Macedonia. So we had some very interesting workshops there. And for instance, in Skopje, they were doing a workshop which was about the mitigation of urban heat islands. So in that case, what we do is that together with them, we develop predefinite prompts or ideas that citizens would use, so that all of those ideas would actually be kind of helping mitigation of urban heat island. So they would not have prompt like predefinite ideas like a new river in the city or park kind of with low trees. You would always have high trees, and you would always have shading opportunities and so on. So this is a way which is very interesting, how different organizations, they customize Urbanist AI for their own workshop. If you're doing a workshop about pedestrianization, then you can start with elements that are about pedestrians. And if you're doing exactly mitigation of urban island, then you would have elements that contribute to that.
Let's now switch maybe perspective a bit to architects, because you've said that architects' role in this process would be to moderate the discussion, also to explain why some of the ideas are maybe too extreme in many terms, right? What do you think that it could bring to the design industry, to the architecture industry? Because there is this open up discussion right now, also with, for example, Photoshop introducing this new AI tool, basically, where you can just write a script, or you can open an image and write, I want a big tree here, and Photoshop will paste the big tree, and then you can modify that. So it opens up this debate, will it basically kill the profession, because instead you will just be limited to writing prompts? Sure, what's your ideas around that?
I really don't think so, because you, as I said, also the experience from Helsinki and other cities, you still need to be able to conform to city standards and regulations. So I think the role of generative AI is just to allow people to express their ideas visually instead of just with text, so that they can evaluate for themselves if that's what they wanted to show or not. So, and for instance, even Photoshop is great exactly if you have a photo and you just want to modify the photo. But with Urbanist AI, for instance, we've been building the entire system for participatory planning. So the entire user experience, it's for that. It's to run that workshop, either if it's online or in person. So you have also like a polling. people can vote for their favorite images at the end of the workshop. So then they can also deliberate on kind of a which are the design ideas that we're pushing forward. Because cities needs to document the process. So you cannot just have kind of a couple of guys with Photoshop trying to, you know, do something. I mean, you can do that, but like it's going to be extremely difficult. How do you vote? How do you organize groups? Even in Urbanist AI, you can actually organize groups with apps. So there's group one, group two, each group can vote their own images, you know, it's designed for that.
So what could an architecture office do in this case? I'm also asking on behalf of my own office. I'm working at Henning Larsson Architects, and we also start thinking about exploring all the possibilities with the AI, and ChatGPT can be one of them. But if we talk about the generation of the images, how could architects use the tool?
I think that the most powerful things for the architects is the fact that they can crowdsource ideas for public space or new development area. So it's the fact that when they are in their office, instead of having five ideas, they can have 500 ideas, right? So it's just a way to expand the possibilities. And it's also a way for them to interact with citizens in a new way. Usually the interaction we saw in previous workshops between architects and citizens is quite conflictual because it is very difficult for them to communicate with each other. Because one, the architects speak the language of images, so they can draw, they can sketch. And of course, like, picture is worth more than 1,000 words. So when the architect shows a fantastic rendering for citizens, it's very difficult like to suggest something different. They have no capacity. So I think what is changing for architects is that now they can dialogue with hundreds of people more than before using visual language. So I think this is the most powerful thing, because I think if you're an architect, you can use Urbanist AI for sketching, absolutely. But I see that there is even more power when you're kind of using it in a way to kind of crowdsource ideas with citizens.
When you've been exploring the different possibilities, I guess, for the development of Urbanist AI, was there something that you found some potential in, but you didn't go that direction?
Yes, we saw the potential to have exactly a generic generative AI app, right? Because we were doing this, I mean, Luca was doing this exactly like 2.5 years, 3 years ago already. Like, so it was before all of those APIs went public and so on. So like it was before you could actually access many of those other software. So of course there was the idea that, okay, let's just use this to reimagine cities in general. But then what is the value of that? Then it becomes like a game, right? Just you put a photo there, you transform it 5 times, then you drop it like any other app. So we really like started work on the idea of a platform specifically designed for participatory planning. I think because that's where the most value is to design the entire experience for that specific process.
That sounds scary that you could have a photo and have, let's say, a competition, right? A city announces a competition and then you just propose a project that was fully made with AI and you just put the photo there and say, okay, re-image that and add nice buildings, trees, and so on. I think that that would be actually a pretty scary way of city making.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's scary is the right word, but like I would say it's an interesting way to see if the idea would diverge or converge. I think what's most interesting about Urbanist AI is that we could actually ask 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 citizens, how would you transform this public space visually? And then see actually which are the converging ideas and diverging ideas. So trying to understand which are the actually kind of, which are the ideas towards which most people collide and which ones don't. And then, yeah, it's, I think, again, bringing up the case of City of Helsinki, it's interesting that like you can also have different groups developing 3 different ideas and then the city is being able to actually build 3 of them in a square, right? So that's, I think, also why the value is there, like in building platform and a methodology that actually helps people to turn from commentator to placemakers, basically. That's fantastic, right?
Without a year spent on education. In a way. Now, I'm aware that nowadays the renderings, right, the visualizations, they are also like just some visual additions to a given space. So of course it exists already, but there is this human interaction and human idea, human thought, human process behind it, right? There is a team of architects designing spaces for many, many weeks before you can find like an outcome in a successful rendering representing that. Yeah, my thought was that it will just happen so quickly with an AI, with a blink of an eye. So it just speeds some processes. And that was something that, yeah, just sounded a bit scary to me. But if it comes to the use of Urbanist AI, let's focus on that. You said that you've been working on this for a long time now, before the famous ChatGPT was announced. And since it was announced, more and more people started to get familiar with the AI tools. Mm-hmm. How did it influence you? How did it influence Urbanist AI? Did you also get more traction, attention, and people reaching out?
Yes, absolutely. So that's exactly what it happened, is that the platform was there before. We were talking with many cities already before. People were interested, architecture office were interested. But then indeed, the sort of the actual organization of workshops and placemaking activities started only in November of the last year. So exactly when people started to understand really what generative AI is, then it became quite easy for them to say, well, yeah, let's do a workshop, or yeah, let's do this, like, right? So it took time. It took time for people to understand this technology, but now it's now it's very interesting time to see also how different cities are using it, because now it's there, now it's clear what it is, now it's clear how it's used, and it's already shaping streets. So that's beautiful.
So you've been there at the right place in the right time.
Well, maybe a bit early even, but yes.
Or even a bit earlier.
Yes.
What's the next step for you? Because for now you work mostly with cities. I don't know if it's also about private clients. And how do you imagine the development of this whole tool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we would like to see actually more and more is to have, let's say, citizens organizations or even small groups of people coming together, organize their own workshops and reimagine the streets or the squares of their own city. Or even have, so this would be like the first thing we're working on. It's how can we make this usable and useful, like, you know, for the small NGOs, for small interest groups that they just want to meet and come up with their own ideas and bring those ideas to the cities. And then the second thing is sort of a wish of mine, is that we will find partners to actually go directly from the ideation process to the placemaking. So having a new methodology to have, let's say, a workshop on a Saturday where citizens come together, city hall or public square, wherever. So we come together with citizens and even the shop owners usually that are on the streets. Have a workshop just like the one we did in Helsinki and other cities to reimagine how the street will look like. And then right away go tactical. So morning after, so on the Saturday there is the workshop, and on the Sunday we go on the street and build it up. So having solution, for example, like Parkly, which is a Finnish company with who we cooperate with. So going directly from ideation to placemaking on a couple of days, because then we could really see streets changing, and we could really, like, also citizens can really feel that they are part of the process, even of the building process. So that would be kind of one of the direction we're working on as well.
What is Parkly doing? Is it about creating the urban infrastructure?
Well, no, Parkly is about, they exactly are really involved in the summer streets project. So they actually create those furnitures that indeed they can replace parking places with beautiful kind of a biodiversity boxes and benches and so on. And they have actually several installations around Helsinki, Nordic cities, I think also in Switzerland. So they basically, they have those modular urban furniture that can be set up very quickly on a street during the summer. So that would be exactly like the thing that interests me the most, is to be honest, the thing I like the most right now of Urbanist AI is just to see the smiles on people's face when they come to the workshop. So we used to run workshop with citizens before, and it was always this kind of tedious process and a lot of explaining, a lot of conflict, a lot of convincing. But now when we do a workshop with Urbanist AI, it's just fun. And I think that's, for me, has been at least until now the biggest thing that I get from it. That's why, like, I want to be at the workshop. I want to be there, even though it's the organizations that run it by themselves. But it is just so beautiful to see kind of a kid say, hey, why don't we stay in City Hall a bit longer? Because usually it's like not the place to hang out. So I think this, for me, has been, from a very personal perspective, the thing I like the most. To see people happy.
I also like to see people happy, but I wanted to ask you about some challenges and threats. One of them would be, do you see any challenges developing this tool, or have you already met some of the challenges that slow the process down or were serving as a threat to you developing this idea?
Not yet, actually. So I think the only thing that, I wouldn't say a threat, but it's something we would like to work on, is to actually produce kind of a locally trained models. So, and we are discussing with some cities already about this, but it's to actually have a generative AI model that is actually even built with citizens. So where they can take the photos, they become part of the training set. So then not only citizens reimagine their own cities, but they can do that using even, like, let's say, their own model. Let's put it that way. There is even now the discussion, you know, of having a personal large language model. It means that you would have the ChatGPT built around you. And that's a bit what also we are aiming to do on the medium term, is to have citizens also co-creating the generative AI model that they would use to redesign the spaces.
And the second one is about the architects again. And I know that you try to tell us that architects should rather sleep safely and calmly and shouldn't worry too much, because they can become those basically facilitators of the design processes with people, with citizens. But don't you think that such a tool as an urbanist AI, and also many, many, many more, can be developed at to the point that they start to become a real threat to architecture as a service? Because maybe there is a city council, a municipality that says, all right, so why should we start a competition process, or why should we delegate a project to an architecture office if we instead can just produce so much of images for our idea and then just start making them into reality?
The first thing exactly is that is why we need architects, is because you would have even more images produced. So you need to have the knowledge to understand which of those ideas and images are actually possible to fit in a certain budget, in a certain urban design regulations and so on. However, well, I would say that sort of the threat to the profession, it's not there unless the profession changes, as it's been with every profession always. And I think the way it will change is that it's not so much urbanist AI is a threat to not changing the practice, but it's more when you have urbanist AI, it's for co-design, then you would have, let's say, another software that helps you make the floor plan. Then you would have another software that actually produces, let's say, technical drawings based on the city's regulations.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you are going to have a suit of kind of a pool of different AI tools put together that they could potentially, let's say, replace not the architect, but replace the role of the architect as it is today.
Okay. Mm.
Right, because those apps exist. There are apps. I mean, there are softwares to do floor plans based on urban standards, and all this stuff exists. So if one architecture office would actually use Urban Insight for co-creation, these other apps to co-design kind of floor plans and building, like, they could speed up the process from months to weeks. But I don't know of anyone who is doing it right now. I know the different architecture offices, they use different tools. Some exactly just to fit into some kind of requirements. Some others use AI to actually generate thousands and thousands of, let's say, design possibilities and then choose one or two. But yeah, so there's going to be a huge spectrum of tools.
So it's not about AI being threat, but it's about the architecture as a profession changing itself and adjusting to the new era.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the main thing is that we need to acknowledge is that you may no longer need to study 5 years to know how to produce rendering, right? So you may want to focus more exactly on how to design cities collectively, how to become better communicator if you want. Not better, but like a different communicator. And in a way, focusing more on the process, like what's going to be the design process for cities in 2035? Actually, that's even too far. I mean, those technologies are here right now. I mean, I think we should reimagine actually architecture education, like, as of next year. Yes.
Would you call it democratizing architecture if you don't need years of study to produce an image?
Yeah, well, there is always the question of AI poisoning. So unless we start to build indeed those kind of a city-based model or citizen-based model, so if the new models are going to be trained on images produced with AI, we might end up having models that actually are becoming more in agreement with each other. It means that it's going to be more and more difficult for them to reimagine something completely new. But that's, as I said, like you can easily change that. But yeah, I think I don't have like a super clear answer in that. We need to see, because yeah, it's changing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. I know we are exploring the topic that is still rather new, although we already made ourselves familiar with the different tools. Of course, the ChatGPT, I think it's the one of the most, I guess it's the leader now, but it might change as well soon. So let's stay open for that. The last thing is more traditional, because I wanted to ask you about something very, very old, very traditional. I wanted to ask you about a book recommendation, if you maybe have something interesting, ideally loosely related to the topic of our discussion. But I guess that as an urbanist, you might have something interesting to share.
Maybe not one book, but Douglas Rushkoff. He has written quite a bit on this topic. It's been quite influential, at least for me. So I would say a mix of that with the pretty old Jane Jacobs, of which many people are bored about it. Like, are you still talk about that? But I think for me, what inspired Urbanist AI was the idea from Jane Jacobs that why cities are losing quality and attractivity is because architects started to design them and planners started to design them from above. So they started to design patterns that look beautiful from top down. But once you experience them from 2 meters of height or even less as a human being, you don't experience that patterns. So if you draw a circular building, it's really beautiful from the top because it's like a nice circle. But if you look at that building from the street, it's a straight wall. So I think this is, for me, has been influential that, okay, how can we bring back the democratization of the process? So that's Rushkoff books. So Tim Human has been one of the most interesting ones for me. And then Jane Jacobs on exactly then how the democratized process of co-design, it's done from the street level up. So, and now we've just launched this week a cooperation project with Humankind. So they have developed a public space workshop tool, design tool, of which Urbanist AI is part of. So we will try to change the placemaking process with them in the coming months.
I'm looking forward to hearing more on that. Maybe that's a potential for another discussion in this podcast. But for now, I'm satisfied. I'm happy that we also finished this discussion about AI with some traditional literature. You also mentioned Jane Jacobs. So I think that we cannot forget about those backgrounds, the complete fundamentals of the urbanism and city making.
I mean, as far as human beings will experience streets from their eye level, all that books are still useful.
Thank you, Damiano. Thank you very much for sharing the story behind the Urbanist AI. And I'm looking forward to observing your journey, your development. And I'm hoping that we as designers, architects can be part of this story as well.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the newest episode of Urbcast, and I hope that it was extremely inspiring, especially that the topic of AI and its role in design is such a broad and undiscovered one. If you would like to get to know more about the topic, please reach out to Damiano, but also like and subscribe this podcast to be updated with the next episodes. This episode was a collaboration with Urban Future. Warm greetings to the whole team, because you organized such a beautiful and amazing event back in June in Stuttgart. I'm looking forward to the Rotterdam edition in 2024. Thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.